number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Hey, glad you could be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as, again, we take you through the night tonight. NFL draft coming up on Thursday night. The quarterbacks that go 1-2 with the Rams and the Eagles. Are they the best quarterbacks to ever have come through the draft? No. But are they good enough? Are they talented enough to warrant the kind of price that were paid for both of them? Well, that's where the league has been in this draft. And this is the thing about what's going to happen on Thursday, is that these two quarterbacks are going to define this draft. You know, unless Ezekiel Elliott is, like, running to the Hall of Fame, this is where this draft is going to be defined, because it's the best position and the most important position and all of that, this draft is going to be how these two guys go. Now here's the thing. It is not, if you're a betting guy, you don't bet on the fact that both of these guys are going to work out. Usually it's one or the other. You know, Drew Bledsoe has a good career. Rick Meyer, eh. Peyton Manning goes to the Hall of Fame. Ryan Leaf, eh. But last year we had the top two picks in Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, and I think both clubs are very, very happy. Still, the book's got to be written on them and all that. But I still think that both of these guys could make an impact. The question I have in this draft is, how interesting can it get with potential trade deals as other teams start wanting to move up or down? Now, Jerry Jones says, for example, that he's not going to trade the pick. Well, maybe that's a ploy. I don't know. The Tennessee Titans say they want to package some of their picks, and they got a lot, as they want to move up. Who else wants to move up? So I think this could be a really active night on Thursday. This is, like I said yesterday, I kind of put this sheet together, and I got a bunch of Sharpies, and I write them all in color, and I try to keep a colored chart of it so I could have it organized for the show that night. And we're going to do the draft coverage after the show, so I want things to look easy. But I can't even write all the teams down, because I want to make sure that we get the trades down, and I think this could be a really active night for that. Now, I say that, and here's the thing, because I'm obviously wrong on many other things. I thought the Tennessee Titans were going to trade that pick last year. And I thought the Tennessee Titans were going to trade the rights to Marcus Mariota even in somewhere along the first round. I really believe that they thought Zach Mettenberger was going to be really their guy. But sometimes you can't pass up quarterbacks. It's really amazing where that position is. You simply cannot do anything without one. And no price is too little. I mean, you got to go out and get that guy. It is so incredibly important. People talk about game managing quarterbacks. Oh, he's just a game manager. Really? All right. Well, I'll take that. Are you kidding? At this point, I will take that. Because I would rather take a game manager boring QB in the NFL than I have a team that doesn't even have one. Because if I have a team that doesn't have one, I am screwed. No defensive line, no running game, no defensive back is going to make my team any good. I better make sure I get that. That's why it was a little odd to see the Denver Broncos let Brock Osweiler go to the Houston Texans. I mean, when you get to the bevy of the details, sure. I mean, there's a little bit of here and there. Maybe he felt slighted and all that. But again, you've got to have that position. The recipe the Broncos used to win the Super Bowl is not something you can repeat. Because A, other teams don't have that good of a defense. And B, it's not like the Broncos cruised to a Super Bowl. They had their hands full with the Steelers. They had their hands full with the Patriots. Yes, they won those games. But it's not something where you said, wow, they don't even need Peyton Manning to play well. They needed Peyton Manning to play well enough. But some teams quarterbacks don't play well enough. Some teams' quarterbacks downright stink. And one of the keys in the postseason was that they limited turnovers. And most quarterbacks don't limit turnovers when they're not on the successful side. So Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, as we talked about earlier with Sam Bradford, the Eagles are so content with either one of those guys over the quarterback that they have now. That's why they made their push. But I think where Bradford is suffering from, and I think the Eagles are trying to do this, and they probably are kind of in the right to do this, is they are really trying to strip away at the Chip Kelly era. They're trying to get rid of the Chip Kelly era and really formulate a team that's in the direction where they really want to go. And that's why I think Bradford and his agent are kind of upset. Because whether or not he's a Chip Kelly, you know, product brought in by Chip Kelly, the reality of it is they were the ones that signed him to the extension. They were the ones that gave him $35 million. And because of that, Bradford's thinking, okay, cool. All right, we'll turn a new leaf. Got a new coach. Well, heading in another direction. I'm going to lose some weapons, but that's all right. I'm here for the long haul. And then he wakes up one day to the news that the Eagles have traded, you know, a boatload of picks to get to the Cleveland Browns to get that number two pick and are completely satisfied with either one or the other. Because you don't make the move to the number two unless you're okay with either one of those guys. That means there are two guys in the draft, the two quarterbacks in the draft, that they think grade better than the current quarterback they have. That has got to be a tough pill to swallow when you think about it. It's not like Andrew Luck is in the draft, right? When Andrew Luck was in the draft, it was a bona fide franchise guy. Immediately, you get him, and you don't look back. He's the guy that's going to take you to wherever you need to go. He's your franchise quarterback forever. But everyone else is a question mark. Even these two guys. Everybody else is a question mark. And yet, whatever plus, whatever upside these two guys have, they are better than Sam Bradford, at least for the long haul for the Eagles. And that's again, to Bradford's credit, he played well late last year. But he did not warrant the kind of security that he wanted from the Eagles. He's too hurt, and he is inconsistent, and he doesn't have a winning record, and all of those things. He's had plenty of time to sort of show when he can play, how well he can play, and I don't think he's done that job. Injuries, I don't fault him. You can't go out there on a torn ACL and throw 5 touchdown passes. I get it. But when he's been healthy, I don't think he warranted the kind of security that he wanted from the Eagles. So again, these two drafts, this draft, these two guys, this is the where this is going to be. This draft is going to be defined. I think it's going to be more interesting to see, again, where the other players go. Jalen Ramsey, where does Laremy Tunsil land? Right? Is Laremy Tunsil even going to be the number one offensive tackle off the board? What about Ezekiel Elliott? Are we going back to, because we saw success with Todd Gurley, are we going back to, hey, let's get the running back and let's get him high in the draft? So there's a lot of things in play. Miles Jack, how far does he go? How far does he fall with the injury report? Where do the Denver Broncos, where do they take that pick? 800-777-2907. Now, one little bit of house cleaning on the Tom Brady situation. We were talking about this yesterday. Brady's been suspended 4 games. It's been upheld. The NFL can do this. Yesterday, I was saying that this is not so much a Deflategate issue anymore. What it is now a power grab by the NFL, a reminder that they control all power. Now, I have a question for the NFL. And that is, you have done everything in your power to take the Patriots and punish the Patriots. And you've done this by suspending their star quarterback. You fined them $1 million and you took their first round pick. Now, here's the question I got. Are you going to make that 4 games stick? You've won. Are you going to let that 4 games stay? They probably do because Brady fought it. But I wonder if they calm down and say, you know what? We got what we wanted. We've made our point. And in the end, this court case allowed us to remind the union where we stand in terms of discipline and power. If you're Demoris Smith, this had to have been a blow. Your players have no real recourse anymore. Anytime, anything, any offense, anybody can be suspended. Anyone can have their game check taken away as many times as the league demands. There is protecting the shield, but there is also an abuse of power. This is supposed to be sort of a balanced scale between union, the union labor, and management. And right now the league went, yeah, well, it wasn't just us signing the deal. This is on you too. All right, coming up next, Mark Davis and Las Vegas. A little bit of the news, and we'll also get more on the NFL draft. Plus, the Dallas Cowboys are picking fourth. It is more open to them. KD Drummond's going to join us from the CowboysWire.com. At the bottom of the hour, it's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
Oh, so the Oakland Raiders going to Las Vegas. Another move by the Raiders to try to get that city of Oakland to help them with their stadium. I don't know. Before we get to Mark Davis's comments on Oakland and the agreement in Oakland and all of that, I got to say this for the city of Las Vegas. I hope I live to see the day where a professional team is in that city. I really do. I hope there is a team. I don't care what it is, NHL, NBA, I don't care. I hope a team is in that city. I loved living there. I was young. I had gotten a job at a CBS radio station there. I loved it. I had 3 great years there. I met some great people that are still my friends. But this used to come up then. I mean, that was 20-something years ago. About 17 years ago. And that topic was there then about that city having a team. Now, the gambling throws people off, right? These sports entities go, I just don't want to be around the gambling. I just don't want to have the gambling, the access to it. But I'll tell you this. I think you have nothing to be worried about. I think if you're worrying about the integrity of your team and the integrity of your games playing in a city that legalizes gambling, I think you don't have anything to worry about. I think that's an overblown aspect to it. And the reason why is I think the sports books are really good about seeing where the trends are going. And they're the first ones to report when things aren't quite on the up and up. You know, when Arizona State, I think it was like early 90s, when Arizona State was in trouble for throwing basketball games and whatnot, the first people to notify the FBI that something was on was the sports books. Because they know where the money is going. When they see money really tilted in one way, it throws up some red flags. And they're the ones sort of monitoring that stuff. It's more of a balanced business than people give it credit for. And I don't think the sports world, the business of the sports world, should be worried about the city of Las Vegas. Now, there's reports that he's meeting with Nevada officials and trying to figure out a way to a stadium and all that. But always remember with these stories is that it's all about leverage. I think most teams want to stay where they're at. The business infrastructure is something that a lot of teams just don't want to pick up and go somewhere else. You try to exhaust all your options, and then if the deal to move is a lot better, then you do eventually pick up and move. If you're Stan Kroenke and you're in St. Louis and there's a number of factors working against you to keep the Rams there, then you have to move. And sometimes you do it in a way, and I think Kroenke did this in St. Louis, where you sort of tilt the scale towards L.A. You don't really put a lot of effort into getting a stadium or working with city officials and all of that. I think this situation, the Raiders have been linked to Carson City, the other part of the stadium in Inglewood, San Antonio, Vegas. I mean, they have been linked to so many different moving options. But in the end, would they stay in Oakland if the city of Oakland said, just stick around here? All right, here's Mark Davis saying that his heart is indeed in Oakland.
If people are going to call you and offer you things to look at, you have to look at them. You just have to do that as a business person and everything else. But my heart is here in Oakland. And if we can get something done, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, as well as go explore the Las Vegas area and get that city officials to start talking about the possibility of what it would take to get you to move there. But no doubt, I mean, look, it's not easy. These aren't monopoly pieces on a board. I mean, to move an NFL franchise, it takes a lot of work. You do have to, you are picking up, you have to get a place to play, you have to get a business infrastructure. Let me give you an example. Remember when New Orleans got hit really hard with Katrina? I was on the air in Colorado Springs at the time, and I was adamant that the NFL needed to move the Saints to San Antonio, and they needed to move them permanently. Or at least, do what they did with Cleveland. Right, give them the Saints back, but the organization that's in there now, the infrastructure that's there right now, much like the Baltimore Ravens used to be formerly the Cleveland Browns, it's still the Cleveland Browns' old infrastructure. You move that to San Antonio permanently, and then give them an expansion team when business comes back. But I said the business, the corporations, the season ticket holders, the things that make you grow as a sports team. The things that where you get your income and your money, a lot of that comes locally that I didn't think New Orleans could support that. And I was dead wrong. But teams picking up and moving, there's a lot of work to it. Here's Davis again on saying the future in Oakland.
We do have an opportunity to create a new future in Oakland. And let's try to do that. And that's what we're here to do. All right. Thank you.
All right, so again, goes meets with Nevada officials. He's been talking about this, had talked about this stadium in Carson. Remember the one with the eternal flame in the drawings? You know, San Antonio a year or so ago. What does he want? He wants a better deal in Oakland. That's all he wants. That's what he wants. So he's going to use it as leverage. Yeah, I'm looking at other places. Here is what he doesn't want in Oakland.
What I do not want to do is build a football stadium in the corner of a parking lot while the Oakland Coliseum is still standing. And then once we have a brand new stadium, we begin to tear down or build a new baseball stadium and then tear down the Oakland Coliseum, disrupting the ingress, egress, and parking and tailgating experience for the Raider fans on game day.
Wow, he's really thought this out. This is what he wants, City. This is what he wants. Look, I want the Oakland Raiders to stay where they are. I don't want them bouncing around. I want Las Vegas to get a professional team. Don't get me wrong. I want somebody to go to Las Vegas. But I want the Raiders to stay where they are. Right? I think that city needs the Raiders. I liked it when they moved back. When they went to LA for a while, won a Super Bowl, went back to Oakland. That's nostalgic for me. And then here is Mark Davis talking about an agreement reached.
We've agreed in principle to a one-year lease extension to play our home games at the Oakland Coliseum for the 2016 season. This will include our two preseason games and seven regular season games. It won't include the one game that we'll be playing in Mexico City on November 21st against the Houston Texans. In addition, we have two one-year options for the respective seasons of 2017 and 2018 that we can use.
All right. There you are. I think Oakland's on the clock. That sounds like Oakland's on the clock to me. We got you a deal here. 2016, we got our games. We're playing here. After that, we have options. We may use those options, but we may not. I don't like, again, teams moving. I don't. I understand why they do it, but I don't like it. I don't like the NFL teams moving because I don't like how the leverage that NFL teams have to try to get stadiums done and how it cripples the local economy. But separate of that, I don't know where the Raiders are going to end up. I don't know where the Raiders are going to end up. I just hope they end up in Oakland. But Mark Davis is going to start playing around now. Go to visit Vegas, go to San Antonio again, maybe visit the LA thing again. I don't know. But he doesn't have a very good deal, and he needs a better deal. But, my God, I don't need this kind of upheaval. I didn't like it when they moved to L.A. I liked it when they moved back. And now they're going to move again. They're possibly going to move again. All right, coming up next, KD Drummond joins us, the Cowboys Wire. We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboy draft. And where are they thinking at 4? Could they trade that pick? Jerry says no, but do we believe him? That's next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us as we look ahead to the NFL draft. And we've been saying this for quite a while, that one of the more intriguing teams in the draft are the Dallas Cowboys, given where they sit with the fourth pick overall and how the draft ahead of them is now looking, with two teams going quarterbacks in the first two picks. Katie Drummond joins us from thecowboyswire.com, part of USA Today. Give us an idea of what the Cowboys are thinking in the upcoming draft on Thursday night. How are you, Katie?
I'm doing all right, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so like I said earlier, this becomes an intriguing pick for Dallas because of what happened in terms of Tennessee and Cleveland trading those picks away to teams that want quarterbacks. How big was it for Dallas to have those teams come in and sort of go quarterback 1-2 in order to get the guy that they may like?
Oh, I think it was absolutely huge. They took a big burden off of Dallas's plate by jumping up there and selecting the two quarterbacks so that Dallas wasn't fixed with the decision of getting an heir for Romo or going with the best position player. Now things are simple. Depending on what San Diego is going to do, it seems like there's a clear path for what Dallas is going to choose to do with the fourth pick.
All right. Now, they have not picked this high for a while. I think 1991 was the last time they picked this high. And there's a chance here to get somebody dynamic, somebody big, somebody that can make an impact and be a playmaker. But in reality, KD, if you're looking at need, what is the biggest need for the Cowboys?
Well, the interesting thing is that if you look at Dallas from the point of view of 2014, they're a team that's ready to compete at least to be an NFC contender. If you look at them from 2015, they're a team with a myriad of holes. So it could go any direction. They have a lot of defensive needs on every level. Defense, maybe not so much linebacker, but in the secondary as well. And then the offense truly sputtered when Tony Romo and Dez Bryant went down. So they can go anywhere from defensive back, defensive lineman, running back. Throughout the draft, they'll be looking for a wide receiver. So basically, all options are still on the table for the Cowboys as far as filling the need. The question is, are they going to go BPA, best player available, or are they going to do something in line with filling one of those needs that they have?
Would you be surprised if they traded that pick at all?
Well, according to Jerry Jones, they had the pre-draft press conference yesterday, and he said they are not looking to trade. And one of the things is, 99% of the year, never believe anything that Jerry Jones says. But when they come out in that pre-draft press conference, they pretty much are proud of themselves and the work that they've done over the course of the 3 months leading up to the draft, and they are very succinct and predictable when they speak on their draft motives. He said they aren't going to trade the pick, and right now I believe them, simply because this draft did not have that many blue-chip talents, and it would kind of be foolish for them to trade away from getting a blue-chip player, especially with the quarterbacks already off the board.
Do they like Ezekiel Elliott enough to take him that high?
They love him. My impression is that there's a split in the Cowboys' brass between Elliott and between Florida State defensive back Jalen Ramsey. Those two guys are pretty much front runners at this point. I would be shocked if they did not take one of those two players.
Now, what about Joey Bosa? Because even before the trades, everyone looked at Joey Bosa and said that could be a good fit for Dallas. Now, of course, this, because of where we are now, it opens up the Cowboys to get even, you know, consider more, you know, other players, including Jalen Ramsey. Is Joey Bosa still on the table?
Well, if you look at the Cowboys' profile of defensive players that they like since they had Rod Marinelli as their defense coordinator, Joey Bosa doesn't exactly fit that profile, and that's the profile of a quick twitch athlete on the defensive line that has the bend to get around the edge and beat left tackles with speed and with athletic ability. That's not really Joey Bosa's game. Joey Bosa is a monster. He has a motor that does not quit. He will definitely be the 8-10 sack guy every year, even as early as year one, but he is not the dynamic edge rusher that the Cowboys really look for at the defensive line. So for my money, I would not expect Joey Bosa to be under consideration. Now, in the press conference, they said that his character concerns were not going to come into play in their decision to take Joey Bosa or not. To me, that was an indication that they think he's simply not the player that they're looking for. But all bets might be off once it comes down to it on Thursday night.
KD Drummond joins us, the CowboysWire.com, part of USA Today, on the Cowboys, who have the fourth pick in the upcoming draft. KD, give me the idea on Jerry Jones. I mean, we know that, you know, he runs the team. It's his team. He's the general manager and owner and all that. When it comes to draft selections, though, does he take in more input than he used to?
The best way to look at it now for the Cowboys is that there are five votes in the room. head coach Jason Garrett has a vote. Jerry Sun, executive vice president Stephen Jones has a vote. Will McClay, the director of player personnel, has a vote. And then Jerry has two votes. So basically, if Jerry can be outvoted 3-2, but if there's a tie, if it's 2-1, Jerry would have the deciding vote.
Has that always been the case, or is that a recent development? Because a lot of people look at Jerry and go, he makes all the decisions, and he makes all these knee-jerk reactions. Has that evolved for him over the last couple of years?
It's evolved, but it's not necessarily over the last couple of years. When Jerry has a head coach and a staff that he feels that he can trust, he does not have a problem turning that over. We saw it with Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells made all the decisions out of Valley Ranch when he was in charge. It obviously wasn't the case when Wade Phillips was the head coach. He has complete trust in Jason Garrett. That's his guy. You can even hear Jason Garrett-isms, as we like to call them, leak into Jerry speak. He basically is taking cues from Garrett. So now he has the trust of him. Will McClay has been phenomenal in helping the Cowboys right the ship when it comes early in the draft. I would say they still have an issue later on in the draft of getting stud players and turning those guys into from coal into diamonds. All in all, he has a lot of trust in the brain in the brain trust of the Cowboys right now. So he's taken a bit of a step back over the last 4 to 5 years. But as always, you can never quite be sure whether or not Jerry is going to overrule somebody.
All right, so they have the fourth pick, and they have other picks throughout the weekend. Is it likely that the Cowboys will find the Tony Romo heir apparent later in this draft?
Oh, they definitely did all their due diligence to prepare for just that. One of the true draft trends and tendencies that we like to harp on is that the Cowboys use their Valley Ranch visits, the 30 national invites that the NFL allows, they use them to get in-depth insight into the prospects. The Cowboys, out of those 30 invites, brought in 7 quarterbacks, and they're sprinkled based on their projections throughout all levels of the draft. They are hell-bent on finding a replacement for Romo down the line, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come early on day one or day two. There are many candidates for day three, rounds 4-7, that they could be looking into as career backups.
All right, I know that from 2014 to 15 they had lost to Marco Murray, but how close is this Cowboy team to that team that went to the playoffs? Because without Romo, this is why they have the fourth pick in the draft, but otherwise, how good are the Cowboys if everybody's healthy?
Well, you'd have to say that the offensive line is actually better because they proved that they could switch things up midstream. They're a zone-blocking scheme, but last year, because of Darren McFadden, he is horrible at zone-blocking. They changed to a power gap scheme, and they proved that they were very adept at running that as well. So I think that flexibility on offense gives them the ability to be a great team. And the issue is that they don't have any pass rush, and they're going to have to manufacture that. They obviously have the suspensions facing Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence to start the season. They let Greg Hardy walk. Obviously, that had to be done. So they're going to have to come up with a way to improve a pass rush that was just abysmal last year. Now, part of that has to do with the fact their offense suffered so much that other teams didn't really have to be very creative when it came to their offense. They didn't have to take any chances, which limited the amount of times that Dallas could get sacked and interceptions. So it's basically one side feeds the other. But all in all, Dallas is a supremely talented team that can make a run.
All right, KD Drummond, again, the CowboysWire.com, part of USA Today, as Dallas will pick fourth on Thursday in Chicago. Appreciate it, KD. Great stuff. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for your time. Anytime you need me.
And like we said, with the two picks going quarterback, if the San Diego Chargers take offensive line, this leaves the Cowboys. And again, that's with San Diego. That's kind of the consensus. This leaves the Cowboys with the ability to take any player that they want to fill a need. They're not going to take the quarterback there. They're not going to take an offensive lineman there. So if they want Ezekiel Elliott, if they want Joey Bosa, if they want Jalen Ramsey, whoever, they have the opportunity to take anybody on the board that they feel fits their need. Now, I know that pick, if you've got the fourth pick in the draft and it's wide open, you tend to go with the more, I don't know, offensive power, you know, the guy that can really change your team offensively. But I wonder, Jalen Ramsey is really good, and I wonder if the Cowboys end up going there. Ezekiel Elliott is, you know, the fun pick that'll get everybody excited, but Jalen Ramsey should do that as well. He's been grading out really, really well. All right, coming up, we'll talk Jamarcus Russell, who wants to play for free. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the Third Shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Hey, glad you could be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Steven on Twitter says, are you surprised Cincinnati didn't try to use AJ Hawk in a trade to work the draft instead of just releasing him? Yeah, I could say that. It's close enough to the draft that, yeah, I'm not overly surprised because I know the move was expected. But when you're doing it this close to the draft, yeah, there's a little bit of a bargaining chip they could have used. They could have thrown that in something. So, yeah, Stan, I'm a little surprised. But I think the move was expected. So, Kenneth, I want to get your take on the article that was posted on ESPN regarding to the comments Drew Brees made about the Patriots. I got more of that coming up in the next hour. But I will say, I am not surprised. Bounty Gate slammed the Saints. I mean, slammed them, set the back and everything. And if there is an organization that is out there that really is nervous and has felt the real brunt of Roger Goodell having the power of judge, jury, and executioner, as Drew Brees said, it's them. So I agree with Brees. I think this is dangerous. I think anybody who saw yesterday and went, ugh, that's just another stupid Deflategate story, missed the larger point. Yes, I don't want to hear about the deflated footballs either. I'm with you. But you now have a league that can get your player anytime it wants. And that's dangerous. I'm sorry. I don't trust it. And I'm not a big conspiracy guy, so I'm not one of the, you know, I'm not the guy that says, oh, the league didn't want this team to win, so they suspended. I'm not that guy. I'm not saying that that's where it's going to go. But I'm a players guy. I lean towards the players on this. They have short careers. Not all of them make $30 million. Those guys give everything that they have, and now they're in a system. And again, they signed the CBA, so it's on them too. But they now have a system where the commissioner of the league gets to say when they can play and when they can't play. And there's no recourse of it. Nothing. And all that court did basically was say, you guys work it out. My God, you guys have a collective bargaining agreement. What are we doing this for? So yeah, no, it wasn't about deflated footballs, and it wasn't about whether or not Brady knew. It wasn't retrying that case, no. What yesterday meant was the league is very, very, very powerful, and now they have court backings to prove it. That's all it is. So again, back to Drew Brees. If there's any team that has felt the brunt of this, it's the Saints, so I'm not surprised by Brees at all. Not surprised. Because in essence, I would have been surprised if he had said, well, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, we're just really glad the commissioner is doing what he does. We're really, you know, no. I would have gone crazy too. Of course. That's what you should do when you've been, because remember, they lost, you know, Sean Payton was out a year. They lost players for a long period of time. You know, it's the Saints really have a gripe. All right. Jamarcus Russell. Remember him? The number one overall pick for the Oakland Raiders back in 2007. Well, his record wasn't very good. He was 7 of 18, 52% passer rate, you know, completion percentage, 23 interceptions, only 8 touchdown passes. He got paid a boatload of money, and he showed up fat, lazy, didn't work hard. Well, he's got to change a tune now. He now wants a second chance in this league. Oh, no, no, no. Before you laugh, let me make something clear. Jamarcus Russell is coming at this the right way. I don't think he has a snowball's chance in Hades of getting back into this league. All right. And I don't think even if he did get a chance in this league, we'd ever see him on Sundays. But can I just get you to at least agree that the way he's going about doing this is at least admirable? Because here's what he's saying. He said, quote, God make things happen for a reason. Who's to say you might see me back? You never know, man. You never know. Whatever it is, I can be a water boy or work my way into a scout team. It doesn't matter. I'll go play for free. Well, you can't play for free. The union won't let you play for free. But I like your approach. He wrote a letter to NFL teams, and this is, again, this is admirable. Laugh all you want at his career. Mock him for being fat and lazy. You have every right as a fan to do that. He was. He took money and basically stole it. But here's what he's saying today. He wrote a letter to Jerry Jones in which he said, "I'm willing to lead the scout team for free for 1 year just to get experience in your system. I know that my name doesn't carry much weight in the NFL right now, but I am more than the image that others have bestowed on me. I've been labeled as a bust. I've been labeled as lazy. And I've been the targets of many insults by the media. The blame for any negative press that I've received rests squarely on my shoulders. My tribulations have humbled me. I'm a better man because of my struggles. And I simply desire an opportunity to redeem myself. I do not want my legacy to be a trail of unfulfilled dreams and misled opportunities." You know, all right, I'll buy. What's he look like today? That's what I want to know. I just want to know. I watched him in the SEC. I watched him at LSU. I thought, you know, this kid could make it if he played. And then he weighed like 100 pounds more. So, I mean, just came in with a big jelly donut belly. And I thought, oh, this isn't going to work. And it didn't work. He says he lost nearly 50 pounds. He did try out for the Bears for a bit, but they didn't take him to training camp. This is not going to go anywhere, Jamarcus Russell, but I give him at least an A for effort. But that part about lazy, he was labeled lazy because he was lazy. He was labeled as a bust because he was. He was the number one overall pick in the draft. He's many insults by the media. Well, that's what happens when you're the number one pick in the draft and you show up fat and you can't play. But I like the fact that he's willing to do this. I like the fact that he wrote a letter and just said, "I made mistakes. I'm human. I'm awful. I got to redeem myself. I'll play for free. I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll carry water." And that, you know, Jamarcus Russell, I'm going to give you an A. Yahoo Sports Radio.